Webcasting live to the world, the good news of God's faith in us. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's Hump Day, Wednesday, May 7th, 2008. The only May 7th, 2008 in the history of humanity. Welcome in on this Wednesday night, helping you over the hump of the week. This is Glenn Klein online. And with a special starting time of 10 o'clock Eastern time, hoping that you folks that like to listen live are logged on. And let us know that you are, please, by calling us tonight on the toll-free. We always want to hear from you at 800-436-3260. That's 1-800-436-3260. Call early and often and have your questions and comments and your salutations ready for the president of the Gospel Revolution. Please welcome him now from the home office of the Gospel Revolution in beautiful Houston, Texas, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael.
Greetings, Brother Glenn, and all of our listeners. How are you this evening, Glenn?
And all the ships at sea.
And the planes in the air.
You know, theoretically, you could pick us up, certainly on the sea, and even in the air, I would imagine.
I would think so. I would think even in outer space.
Even though you're not supposed to be using any cellular technology when you're on the plane. But if somebody had a headset on, how would anybody know?
Who's to know the better?
Yes, well, I had a very, very full day, and let's suffice it to say, jamming right up until webcast time. For those folks that are listening on the archive, you don't know any difference. But we are starting 1 hour later tonight. So if you are listening between 10 and 11 o'clock Eastern time, your participation is very much desired. Sean O'Halloran is waiting to take your calls on the Glenn Klein online toll-free hotline, which is 1-800-436-3260. Who will be the first to call tonight? We want to hear from you. We have lots to talk about, but we want to talk about what you want to talk about, and that's how you do it. You pick up the phone and you dial 1-800-436-3260, or if you choose, whether you are listening live or on the archive, you can always email us your questions and comments at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Lots to talk about tonight, Michael. We've got the convention that we're going to be talking about that's off and running.
Yes.
And we know some of you beautiful humans have already made your reservations, which is a lovely thing. And we've got questions that are queued up on the email. But we want to talk briefly, if we can, about the tragedy that hit, how do you pronounce it?
Myanmar.
Myanmar?
Myanmar.
Myanmar.
Yes.
I wonder what that means.
I don't know.
Well, of course, they were hit by a cyclone. Now, a cyclone is different than a hurricane. But it has the same devastating force, or potential devastating force. Do you know the difference between a cyclone and a hurricane?
One rotates one way, one rotates the other.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You win the Gospel Revolution trivia contest.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. So, living here in the beautiful Tampa Bay, Florida area, very familiar with the potential devastation of hurricanes. And Michael, just on a quick trip to New Orleans, saw some of the effects of Hurricane Katrina, but these are in developed areas, obviously, whether it be in Florida or even in Biloxi or New Orleans, as bad as it was. We're talking, Michael, they're talking the potential of 100,000 people now may have been killed in this thing.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, and the inability of aid workers to get in. One thing, though, that struck me, Glenn, was that here we are 2 days after this cyclone hit Myanmar, the former Burma, and in a peninsula on the opposite side of the world, and the United States is at the door waiting to get aid in, and 5 days after Katrina, there was still nobody there coming to help those folks.
Well, they were trying.
They were trying, but they just had problems.
Well, and the kind of help that we could offer, obviously, is not on the scale of evacuation, and it's a totally different situation because you have complete devastation. And, of course, the hurricane wasn't the problem with Katrina. It was the aftermath and the fact that the levees didn't hold.
Yeah, well, that's the, you know, they have the aftermath here, too.
And they sure do. And, you know, something that it reminded me of, it's, you know, I always, of course, ladies and gentlemen, think in terms of the gospel. And here we have this message that we like to share certainly every Wednesday night and wherever we get a chance to around the world. And it's help, Michael. I mean, we are offering free help. And yet the dictatorships known as the ministry,
yeah,
they don't want the help. They don't. They're dictatorships. They're just like the.
Well, it's control.
They're just like the military junta that will not allow our aid workers in there to help save people's lives.
Yeah.
And we're kind of in the same boat. We can kind of relate.
Yes, absolutely. No, it is true. And you know, the good news that we have to offer is the good news that we have to offer in any tragedy, which is the great equalizer. You know. The amazing thing is that death is the great equalizer, but the amazing thing beyond death is that life is the great equalizer, because all have been raised to life in Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, and all of these wonderful Burmese people who have lost their lives in this tragedy, regardless of the way that they may have died, and regardless of the religion or their beliefs or their lack thereof, they were all raised into the eternal presence of God by the power of Jesus Christ. And I just can't see what's wrong with that. To think that our Savior loses when people don't know about him is just ridiculous to me anymore, and it's been ridiculous for quite some time. But the fact of it is that the Savior of the world, which Jesus was proclaimed to be the Savior of the world, and Jesus is not a personal Savior. I know that rocks the Christian world to the core, but let me say it again. I started saying, let me say it again, Jesus, you're not Jesus, you're Glenn.
Well, I do have him living inside of me.
You have so much of him inside of you, I just can hardly tell the difference. Honestly, Glenn, it really is. I mean, we really have to stop and acknowledge this incredible, powerful gospel, the great equalizer. And this personal Savior, it sounds so...
Well, when you hear it, you know, you tell a lie long enough that you have to accept Jesus Christ and make him your personal Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
People, of course, have believed that and into the multiple tens, if not hundreds of millions now for a long time. Do you guys, hey, Sean, you know that song, maybe Kristen, you know, it's a rock and roll song that goes about a line about da-da-da-da, personal Jesus. Who sings that?
Are you drawing a blank from the audience and the engineering staff?
Who is it? Yeah, your own personal Jesus. You know, on the song, somebody out there knows it, and we'll get an email. Let us know who sings it. I want to get that in the Gospel Revolution soundtrack. But it sounds so absurd when you hear it in a so-called secular rock and roll song. And you got, who is it? The Pesh Mode. Nicely done. Sean O'Halloran, ladies and gentlemen. Very nice.
Yay.
The Pesh Mode.
He wins a prize tonight, too, along with me. He wins second prize, though.
The big gospel trivia night here. Gospel Revolution trivia. So the point is that it's been so long that it's become an accepted thing that you've got. I tell so many people so many times, whether they have a Christian background or not, everybody has heard the concept of making Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. Everybody's heard that. And I always talk about the Bible being an amazing book and what the Scriptures is and what the Scriptures are not. And I said, in fact, I was just talking to my boss, the guy that hired me for the life coaching in Wisconsin, which is, you know, why I'm in Wisconsin so much and frankly, that was why I was so occupied earlier this afternoon, because he was in town. But he's got some Christian background, and his parents are Assemblies of God type folk. And so we were talking about this, and I said to him, I said, Cody, you think it would be in there one time, just once,
yeah,
if it was that important. But ladies and gentlemen, it is not in there once to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. And so obviously all these Burmese people that were killed in the cyclone, most of them, Michael, never even heard of Jesus Christ, let alone had an opportunity to accept him as their personal Lord and Savior.
Yeah, and the fact of it is he was their Lord and Savior and is today, as they awoke to a reality after their demise on this earth, as tragic as it was. All humans have hope, Glenn, and I am absolutely thrilled to be a voice in the wilderness, in the darkness, to proclaim this incredible gospel. And, you know, the church just has no clue that by preaching a personal Lord and Savior, they are diminishing and minimizing, marginalizing the power of the work of the cross, and making it impotent and
rather impotent. What the church has done, beautiful humans, is that they have given mortal men and women the power to make Jesus Christ the Lord.
Yeah.
Not anywhere in the prophecies and in the any writings that you can see.
Not even in the New Testament.
Not even in the New Testament does it say, okay, folks, now you corrupt, fallible, clearly imperfect people, you have the choice of whether you're going to make the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings actually Lord. It ain't in there.
Yeah.
It ain't in there. We're happy to take off the fallacy and peel it off, as we do each and every Wednesday night on the Glenn Klein Online webcast with Michael Williams. We want to encourage you to call us right now, undoubtedly having spawned some thoughts, some inspiration, some questions in your mind. 1-800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran. What was that group's name again, Sean?
Depeche Mode.
He knew that. He's a smart guy. He's waiting to hear from you because he's our call screener extraordinaire as well. But right now online we have our Cincinnati correspondent who's going to call and give me some serious grief about the Reds whooping up on my Chicago Cubs today, Mr. Greg Amber. Gregory!
There's no possible way I'm going to do any trash talking about baseball, even though we won 2 out of 3, as bad as the Reds are playing.
Won 2 out of 3, and the Cincinnati Reds...
I'm going to be a gracious winner.
I got out of the shower. I was on the Stairmaster, ball game starts, to take a shower. I can't miss much, right? I get out of the shower, and in the second inning, the Reds hit 4 home runs in one inning.
Yeah.
This doesn't happen.
Our rookie Joey Votto hit 3 in the same game today.
He had a good night. He had a good day. Actually, he'll have a good night because he had a very good day.
So,
did you know that was Depeche Mode?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Greg, of course, an accomplished musician in his own right,
and a cool dude at that.
Well, they were a keyboard band mostly. And I didn't necessarily like their music, but I listened to it a little bit just because of it was kind of what was happening in keyboards at the time.
But that's a good song, though.
Yeah. Hey, this personal Savior thing is something that's near and dear to my heart. Several years ago, I wrote a little article called Reconsidering the Four Spiritual Laws. And you all know about the Four Spiritual Laws.
Right, those were the tracks, the famous...
You used to go on campus and convince people that they were going to hell and needed Jesus.
Passed them out all over the nation.
Yeah, that's probably how you got your start, Michael, in Clearwater Beach, passing out the four spiritual principles.
Yeah.
Well, they use proof texts in the Four Spiritual Laws to show you this thing that they've concocted. But what's amazing is that almost all of the scriptures that they use to convince you of the four spiritual laws are excellent scriptures in preaching the salvation of all.
Very true.
If you just put them in context and read the verses around them, it's amazing. Of course, John 3:16, But John 3:17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Yeah.
And then in, let's see, I've got these other ones here. I've got one. Can I read one little paragraph to you?
Sure, go ahead.
Love it.
Okay.
Love it.
And also the scripture about if I be lifted up, I will draw all unto me. I look back and since having listened to Mike explain that being judgment, I want to rewrite that paragraph. But I wanted to read this little paragraph to you. Are we to believe that Jesus failed to carry out his mission to save the world? Are we to believe that Jesus will not draw all unto himself? The next proof text for law number one is John 10:10. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Here Jesus spoke of being the good shepherd. In verses 11 through 16, Jesus repudiates the hireling or employee who, when the sheep are in danger, runs away and abandons the sheep. Jesus said that he owns the sheep and will lay down his life for them because they are his. In Matthew 18, Jesus tells how the good shepherd is most concerned about the lost sheep and will leave the others behind to go rescue the one that has strayed. Does this sound like the Jesus claimed by most Christians? No. Their Jesus is powerless against the free will of the wandering sheep. If that little sheep exercises his free will and wanders off from the fold, there's nothing the impotent shepherd can do. But our shepherd, I'm not reading anymore, our shepherd is the good shepherd who came to save the lost, and he saved all of them. And, you know, I think it's just fabulous. If you go back and study the four spiritual laws and then go take all the scriptures that they have and put them in context, it's a wonderful lesson.
Well, you know, it's an amazing thing when you put things in context, Michael. If nothing else, if you haven't taught the world anything else, Michael, is to read those scriptures and the New Testament writings in context. Even the New Testament writings, a lot of them make sense, as Greg aptly points out.
Well, listen to this. Romans 3:23, they used to state for law number two, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the next verse says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Who's being justified freely? All who have sinned.
Yeah.
There's no period at the end of that.
Yeah.
It's a great study. Putting it on my blog.
You know what they do? Paul's incredible comparative teaching and state the one side of the argument he is trying to defeat and refuse to quote the rest of it.
Right, exactly.
And they quote the part he is trying to defeat every time. It really is quite amazing. But, you know, in as far as reading things in context, I have actually apologized to people for being called a teacher sometimes, because when I get up and I start reading a chapter and we go through a whole chapter, which is my tendency more than not, is to just take a whole chapter or get really carried away and do two chapters or something. And I have actually stopped and apologized to the people for calling myself a teacher, because I said, I am really sorry, because all I'm doing is reading, and all you're doing is that we are setting aside preconceived ideas and allowing our brain to accept what's being said. And it's like, so where does that leave me being claiming to be a teacher? You know, I'm a reader. It's like, so now it's like one of the, we need one of the gifts of the spirits to be reading, you know?
All right, so, go ahead. I'm sorry, Michael.
And instead of being a teacher, we need just people just to read, you know, read in context. It is, and as you were talking about earlier, it is the most powerful thing that I think that if I have done anything in this gospel revolution, I constantly hear people being grateful for hearing that voice in their head when they're reading, and it's my voice ringing in their head saying, read one more verse.
You know, I get a lot of spam and religious garbage, and somehow I got onto this guy's email address. Might have got it through the webcast, who knows. But his name is Brad Reiches, R-E-I-C-E-H, or R-E-I-C-H-E-S. And he sends stuff, probably twice, three times a week. So here is what he wrote today. And it's entitled, Michael, you'll love this, The Faith of Paul. We've been teaching on the faith of God. But here he's teaching. So here's what he says. God's thoughts, Wired, which is what his emails are entitled, evangelize the church in an age of delusion. The error the Bible refers to as the beginning of birth pangs is here. And he quotes Mark 13:9, or he references Mark 13:9. The age of delusion has begun. See 2 Thessalonians. False teachers and false gospels are everywhere. The angel of light has become so influential in the visible church that even the false Bibles have made their way into mainstream Christianity. This is what he says. Tens of millions of sincere churchgoers are being led astray by celebrity pastors and teachers presenting a false gospel of grace, nowhere to be found in Scripture. So, this is beautiful. I mean, here's this guy who is doing the exact same thing, pulling passages out of the New Testament. He's got here, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith, the righteousness of faith, the righteousness of faith, the righteousness which is by faith, the righteousness based on faith, leading to obedience of faith. He said, Paul knows nothing of the grace without obedience and righteousness taught by so many of today's false teachers and preachers. He says, first of all, the gospel of Paul was a gospel of repentance. And see, Greg, exactly what you're saying. And everything that guy just said and wrote, we can say yes and amen. But when he's talking about the obedience of faith, when he's talking about the righteousness of faith, the righteousness based on faith, we know whose faith he's talking about. He's not talking about our faith. It's talking about the faith of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of repentance, Michael, is repenting from dead works, repenting from self-righteousness, repenting from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil.
As Paul said in his own testimony in Philippians chapter 2, or chapter 3, it's his testimony is so powerful of his repentance from his own righteousness. And, to quote Paul and to quote repentance and not take into consideration Paul's own testimony, well, foolishness upon foolishness.
Listen to this. He says, and what are the deeds appropriate to repentance? They are the deeds of righteousness and the deeds of obedience. While it is certainly true that we are not saved by the works of the law, he says. See, this is what they always do. While it is certainly not true that we are saved by the works of the law, we are saved by a faith that results in obedience, the outcome of which is righteousness. See, again, yes and amen. But whose obedience and whose righteousness?
Yeah.
It's so misconstrued. It's so FUBAR. We haven't done a Legalist of the Week segment for a long time. But Brad Reiches, you are the Legalist of the Week. and several times a week when we get your posts. But, Mike, what would you say to Brad if he happened to be listening right now?
Well, Brad, we call you to repentance, dear brother. We call you to the repentance of the Paul that you are trying to quote, repentance from your own righteousness. And we have good news for you. You've been made righteous and holy and perfect in the eyes of God by the power of the blood of Jesus.
And by Jesus' obedience.
And his obedience, his faith, his sacrifice. It's just really weird. It's all about Jesus.
Oh my.
You guys, of course, I'm sure you guys remember Kenneth Copeland's teaching on the God kind of faith.
Oh, dear Lord, yes, I cut my teeth
where
on
he
it.
Took, where he took all those scriptures about God's faith and changed it to the God kind of faith.
Yeah,
I was having that conversation with a friend of mine this week who's kind of still in the Word of Faith movement, and I said, I was talking about the faith of God. He said, you mean the God kind of faith? I said, no, that's Kenneth Copeland's distortion of that. I said, just read it like it is. The faith of God. God's faith.
Yeah.
So maybe
what,
that'll...
What did he say?
He thinks I'm nuts.
well, you know. That's
fine.
Copeland is right and the Bible is wrong.
but when I was talking to him this week about what an incredible leap in logic you have to take those scriptures and say, or those verses in the Bible and say, that means the God, that we're supposed to have the God kind of faith. That puts some serious pressure on us.
Boy, you think that might be a problem?
And the other way, it takes the pressure off and puts it on God, which he can handle it.
Yeah, and one can handle it, and one can't.
Exactly.
What we have found, Michael, and Greg, you may appreciate this as well, we have found that people that stay focused on God's faith and God's righteousness and our perfection in him, it seems like the kind of behaviors that are so aberrant and so prevalent, therefore, to the Christian church, over time stabilizes, and certainly amongst the adherents to the gospel, it has less of a pulling power or a draw to continue down what, you know, might be described as unproductive or destructive patterns.
Yes, absolutely. And it definitely has been the gospel that, you know, I've been preaching for this number of years has a longevity now to it, with some statistics backing it up, that it certainly does bring stability and lending credence and legitimacy to the power of the kingdom of God. Because, you know, as long as we are tied up in legalism and self-righteousness, we're glossing over the kingdom of God instead of living in it. And I am a true believer in living in the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. And that joy is not joy based about life and about what's happening to you. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. It's joy about what has happened in our relationship with God. It's just like the, you know, the verse from the Old Testament in Isaiah that we sang about, you know, this is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so we've, you know, transferred that into every day you wake up. You know, this is the day. Well, no, this is the day. And now, and just like you say at the beginning, this is the only, you know, whatever day it is. And we would say, well, this is the day that the Lord hath made. No, that's not what it says in context.
Right.
The day that the Lord hath made is the day that Jesus died on the cross to remove sin off the face of planet Earth, fulfill the prophecies of Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Jeremiah and Zechariah and Habakkuk and all of these guys, and to fulfill all law and to fulfill all scripture. And to place into the hands of the human race the benefits of a victory won at the cross, not a victory won in our individual lives, but a victory won at the cross. And, you know, this is just to lose focus on that is, again, to gloss over the kingdom of God and to gloss over the righteousness, the peace, and the joy.
Well, it's even more than glossing. I mean, it is polluting it. It is spoiling it. It is soiling it.
It's putting the veil of Moses back over.
Exactly. It is. The Bible says that our righteousness, the best we could do, that our brother Brad was referencing, that obedience that will lead to righteousness, that is as filthy rags to God. And the rags that was being referenced in the scriptures was the rags of a woman's menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
That's pretty gross. That's pretty disgusting. Yeah. That's our righteousness to God. And whether one could argue, if you want, that this is a day that the Lord has made, but it wasn't what the prophets were talking about in Isaiah, the specific prophet, because we know what he was talking about, Michael, because Jesus said that all Scripture, all the law, the Psalms, and the prophets were about me. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in that. You can rejoice all you want, folks, in this day, in your accomplishments, and your kids, and your money, or your health, or whatever you want to rejoice in. That's, you can do whatever you want to do. But that's not what that Bible verse was talking about. It was talking about a specific point of history that the Bible says happened before the foundations of the earth, which was Christ and Christ crucified. Christ was crucified before the foundations of the earth. That was the moment that Isaiah was talking about.
Yes, absolutely. And regardless as to whether today yields any reasons to rejoice, if today yields no reasons to be at peace, we have peace. And we have joy that is specifically related to a very specific time and point in history. Thank God it's not a future event, it's a historical event. And Jesus brought an end to all things pertaining to God and man. My goodness, Glenn and Greg, I just have no point to get tired
It's pretty amazing, isn't it? I mean, Greg, think about this for a second. We've been doing this now for, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years, Michael, maybe 15, you know, getting up there, a couple decades almost.
Yeah.
And it's not boring. It's the same message over and over and over again. The same thing we talk about every freaking week on the show, every time we get before an audience, and it never gets boring.
No,
and
all I have to do is just a statement come out of my mouth, like what we just said, you know, that all things pertaining to God and man was resolved 2,000 years ago, and it's like, I want to go through the roof. I mean, it's not just not boring. It is still the most relevant and the most powerful thing that I know on planet Earth to this day. Glenn, my God, think about it. All things pertaining to God and man was resolved. It is a historical event.
Yeah,
future event.
It's an eternal event. It's past,
absolutely,
present, and future. That's forever.
And forever, absolutely.
What were you going to say, Greg?
I was going to say that on this webcast, you hear the testimony of Jesus Christ. You don't hear the testimony of Glenn Klein or Mike Williams. You hear all the glory, going to Jesus, not because we fasted and prayed or not because we overcame some sin or something, but it was all done by Jesus. It's his testimony. That's the biggest difference between this and a typical church. Everyone else has their own testimony of what they did.
And we all have the same testimony.
We have the same testimony, the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Exactly right. It manifests itself in different ways in different people. And even if, Michael, we didn't have any perspective or any history behind this now, if nobody ever was helped by this message, it wouldn't make the message any less true.
No, it absolutely wouldn't. I mean, I cannot go back and misconstrue and take out of context the way that I did for all of those years under the influence of those that I was under and those who were under my influence who took things out of context because of my own teaching. I cannot, there's nothing to go back to. I've never felt more camaraderie with the disciple who responded and said to Jesus, well, what do we have to go back to? You know, there's nothing to go back to. And it just is not an option. There's nothing there. And again, Paul's testimony. And folks, I tell you what, if you want a powerful experience in your life, read Philippians chapter 3. Read Paul's testimony. Read a true testimony. His testimony was not that he used to be a murderer and he used to kill Christians. That's not even, do you know that's not even in Paul's testimony?
Yeah, we find that out in the book of Acts. Paul never talks about it.
Never. And then he gives his testimony three times in the book of Acts to the king. And he gives his testimony in Philippians chapter 3. And he never says, oh, I used to be a murderer, and then God saved me. He never says that. He says, I used to be self-righteous. And I used to think that righteousness came through the law. And then I got saved. Now, he knew he had already been redeemed at the cross, which gave him the option of salvation, of turning away from his own righteousness. But the fact is that God delivered Paul from his own righteousness in relationship to God long before he was stricken on the road to Damascus. The road to Damascus was the beginning of his salvation. And I'm telling you, we are having many people who are having a road to Damascus experience. Of this, it's like being stricken blind suddenly that everything they thought they knew, they don't know anymore. And they become completely blind in essence, and in a manner of speaking, they become completely blind to where everything that they related to based on self-righteousness and what we learned in church and even all the way back to Sunday school, suddenly is irrelevant. It means nothing except a frame of reference of a backdrop of darkness that shows us the light. And I think people are going through that that Pauline experience and being stricken on that road to Damascus and that self-righteous pursuit. And man, I tell you what, it's being repeated time after time after time. And people go blind and cannot see the way they used to see anymore. And now the light has risen, and the light has shone as the prophets foretold that it would. And that as we allow that light to shine in our hearts, that it actually causes the day star to rise in our hearts. And that it's like a light shining in a dark place. And we suddenly see things through eyes we never had. I'm telling you that the Paul experience on the road to Damascus is now being duplicated by the thousands around this planet when they are stricken blind to their own righteousness. They cannot see their way anymore, Glenn. They can't see it that way.
Right.
If I tried to get Greg Amberge to see things the way he used to see it, he would have to say, I'm completely blind to that. I cannot see it anymore. It ain't there.
And another good thing about Paul's experience, which we follow in the New Testament writings, is that it took him a while after he was blinded to work out this grace message and this understanding. Because the same Paul that was blinded and obviously was knocked down and had to come to the end of himself was a guy that was contemplating incorporating some of the law into the practice of this new, what they used to call the way. And he had Timothy circumcised. So, folks, yeah. Don't feel bad if you've kind of dabbled back in the legalism or the law or whatever. There, one of the guys that follows the webcast closely, I got an email, and there was no judgment on it one way or the other, but it was directing people to information about a healing service that has been going on in Lakeland, Florida, not 45 minutes from where I'm sitting right here. And so I checked it out on God TV, and this guy is tatted up. I mean, he's got ink all over his neck, down his arms. I mean, he just looks like a biker guy. But he's pulling the same crap that has been pulled over the eyes, the wool over the eyes of people and they had on the link that he sent to us, they had a report about it. The local Tampa station went and reported on it, and you're hearing the same stuff, people coming from all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
And my heart breaks for sure. These people.
Yeah, it is heartbreaking. It really is tantamount to a cyclone hitting and really destroying the lives and destroying the faith of many to really know where their faith is, which that faith is in the faith and the obedience of Jesus Christ and redirecting it. It's not taking the blinders off, it is a process of putting the blinders on.
And once again, Greg, they have people getting healed from everything that you cannot see.
Exactly.
From arthritises, from cancers, from all kinds of stuff that no arms growing.
Yeah, no fingernails.
No fingernails. They don't have some of our war veterans coming to this thing and being prayed that they receive a new limb, because they know that that's not possible.
Yeah, right.
And if the reason they would say if that's not happening is because they don't have enough faith. Folks, you have as much faith as you're going to ever have. The faith of Jesus Christ has been imparted into your heart, and it's not a question of releasing it to have some sort of manifestation occur in the earth. It has already been manifested. It was manifested in the body of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's as good as it's going to get. And if Jesus Christ, Greg, if Jesus Christ isn't good enough, then we might as well forget about it. The guy, this guy Brad Reiches, says that tens of millions of people are believing this gospel of grace. What I have to say, Brad, to you is from your mouth to God's ears that this were true.
As a good Jewish boy, what else would you say?
Exactly. So, Gregory, have you made your reservations for the convention yet?
I have not, but I'm looking into it.
Well, get on that, my friend.
I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to drive or fly.
Well, with gas prices...
I'm afraid to book a flight because they're going to have all these airline mergers and bankruptcies in the next 6 months. I'm not sure what to do.
Well, you'll get there. We're talking with Greg Ambergy from Cincinnati, and we're talking also about the Gospel Revolution Convention, which is a good time for a commercial for that. All you got to do, all the information is up. You just go to gospelrevolution.com, and right at the top of the homepage, you just click on there, and there's registration for the conference. There is reservation information for the hotels, and then we ask... So just contact us to let us know what you're doing. Today we got in the Ramseys from Park River, North Dakota. They came in, and then also from Minnesota, we had, I will get the name.
The North is showing up.
Yep, the Frozen Chosen, my friend.
Yes. And our Canadian folks are signing up.
That was Vivian Seilstad. Sealstad is pronounced?
Yeah.
East Gull Lake.
Glenn, I'm going to get off here and free this lineup for somebody else to call in. I've been hogging up the time.
No, we love hearing from you, Greg. You're always a welcome guest and correspondent.
Thank you very much.
Talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Thanks, Greg.
There's Greg Ambergy, ladies and gentlemen. He got off too quick. I always forget what his blog is. It's appraisingstuff.com is Greg's blog. appraisingstuff.com and a lot of good insightful stuff, obviously, that we enjoy hearing from. Now we do have that line open for you, and we still got about 15 minutes left on Glenn Klein Online, so get on the phone. We want to hear from you tonight, 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran waiting to take your call, 1-800-436-3260. So we had 50 rooms available, and now we're down under 40. So we're encouraging you folks to make your reservations quickly for the Gospel Revolution Convention, November 5th through the 9th in beautiful Houston, Texas, at the Marriott Houston North at Greenpoint, a very nice location.
Beautiful place.
And for flying purposes, because obviously a lot of folks will be flying in, just know that there's a free shuttle service from the airport to the venue, to the hotel. What do you think, Michael, about a 10-minute trip?
That or less. I think it's actually less than that.
Nice. And we're really encouraging you folks to do this promptly, because we are committed to these 50 rooms. And we've had, Michael, you know, just flat out, honestly and frankly, with the people that listen to the show and also that just follow the Gospel Revolution, we've had a request for a long time for this kind of meeting and this kind of get-together. And so now we're doing it, and it's really incumbent upon you folks to step up. Couple by couple, there's an early bird discount that if you sign up, you get a significant discount. You save about $25, and which would be $50 per couple. And so just go to the GospelRevolution.com website. You want to say anything more about that right now?
No, and, you know, also in making your room reservation, you know, if it's a married couple, that's one thing. But if there's a couple of friends that want to come together, my gosh, Glenn, it's just a little over $50 a night if you share a room. So, you know, these are really beautiful rooms with, you know, two double beds and just a bit over $50 a night is going to be your room expense. So definitely, you know, there's I can't tell you enough how happy I am with the hotel, with the staff, and with our rooms. They are beautiful, and I can't wait for you to see the carpet in the place. I every turn that I went, I was going, wow, look at this carpet. And I think once you get there, you'll see what I mean. Never before have I seen such carpet as this. And I hate to go on about it, but things like that get my attention. And so make sure you comment on the carpet when you get there, because I sure made a big to-do about it. But the rooms are just gorgeous, and our meeting rooms are just really, really wonderful also. So we found such a wonderful location, and it being so close to the airport, and your early registration is very important for you, and it's very important for us also. So don't hesitate. Don't put it off. Go ahead and go to the link for the hotel and go ahead and sign up and go ahead and get your room reservation in. Once we get these 50 rooms filled, which it looks like this is not going to take us very long to fill these 50, you will still have that price as it is available. They do not guarantee that they will be available. If they are available, we will get the room still at that price. But they are not required to give us the $109 room rate, down from nearly $195. They're not required to do that more than the 50 rooms. They only do it if they are available. So don't miss out on this special rate. Be sure and call the hotel. Don't just sign up with us. Make sure you call and get your room reservation in so that you can get this really great price.
And the toll-free number is right on the homepage. And also, when you click on the Marriott's, they've set up our own little website that you can get to by the GospelRevolution.com address. You see pictures of the rooms, and I mean, you can see exactly what Michael's talking about.
Yeah, can't see the carpet, but.
So you're saying that the carpet is like, it's okay to take your shoes off, is what you're saying?
Man, the carpet's awesome. Just it's every turn. It's I don't know. They must just have had a special carpet designer in the place. I want to take a poll once we get there and ask everybody what they think about the carpet in the place.
So easily to please. It's so
I am. It takes one little thing, and I'm just happy as I can be.
It's a beautiful thing. We've got about 10 minutes left. This is Glenn Klein online. Still time for you to pick up the phone and call. I want to hear from you tonight. 1-800-436-3260. Who will be the next call? We had Greg on for a nice long time, and always just very pleased to hear from Greg Ambergy. 1-800-436-3260. We want to hear from you. This email, Michael, comes from Kim and Jared Morse of Marion, Illinois, and they just said, they said, "Hey, Mike, we haven't chatted for a while, and Jared and I just wanted to let you know that we started having services this past Easter with our new church, Grace Life Fellowship. It's in Marion, Illinois. You can find us at gracelifesi.org or on MySpace.
Awesome.
There's a link to the MySpace from the webpage. We want to make plans to have you in later this year for a meeting or conference.
Awesome.
Our building can hold 80 adults, so we want to get something bigger, but we'll talk about that later. We've had some people asking if we're bringing you in to speak. We want to lay a foundation of understanding before we have a meeting so our congregation can keep up with the message. Many of our congregation are very new to this message, and frankly, many haven't found that they fit into a traditional church in the past and are giving this a try for the first time. We're really honored to have this opportunity to share the gospel of grace and peace. Just want to let you know we're thinking of you and want to let you know that we are open." That's Kim and Jared Moore. So, Kim and Jared, you should bring your whole church to
Houston.
You talk about getting some foundation set.
And we are honored to have Kim and Jared on board with the Gospel Revolution, for sure. I had the pleasure of meeting both of them when I was speaking in Indiana for Cliff Hazelbaker. And, you know, it's just amazing. These guys, Kim and Jared and Steve and his wife there in Marion, Illinois. These are people, you got to understand something about these folks. These are people who exhausted themselves in youth ministry to win people to Jesus. And when they realized that with exhausting all of their efforts, they were only reaching 1% of the youth in southern Illinois, they dropped back and said, "We got to reconsider this. What is it we're doing wrong?" And when they tried to figure out what they were doing wrong, they found out that the big problem was that what they were doing was wrong.
What are we doing wrong? Everything.
Yeah. So, man, what a joyful peace they came into, and now they share the gospel even more.
Well, here's the thing: is that everybody they now recognize, do the Morses, that everybody in Marion and everywhere around the world are in their congregation. They don't have to win anybody; they're already won.
Yeah, and we just have good news to share. My goodness, are we privileged characters or what?
Yeah. I love when you say, what do you say? You say if there's any bad news, it's not the gospel.
Yeah, if there's any bad news, then the good news, it's not good news.
Yeah, it's not good news. It's actually very simple and very straightforward.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, and these folks, and we do want them down for the convention, and in fact, we expect them to be there. But, you know, you've just got to realize how many efforts there are going out around the world to share this gospel. People that I don't even know. Some of them I do. Some of them I have the incredible privilege of knowing who they are. But you've just got to understand that there's people around the world.
Well, according to Brad Reiches, we got tens of millions now. So
absolutely. Good. Well, that's somebody who doesn't want to believe there's tens of millions who are beginning to embrace the grace of God. Lee Lau in Hong Kong has, he's certainly got his own little mission going on there with his own family, and I'm sure spreading out from even there. Of how that they have just rejoiced in finding the redemption of the world and have become not only strong supporters, but we are very strong. You know, this is the thing. People don't just become very strong supporters of us and the gospel. We become very strong supporters of you. There's nothing we wouldn't do to help you. All you got to do is say, "We need help." There is nothing that I can think of, Glenn, that we would not do to help Lee and to help the Morrises. They've asked for our help. I would go at any time under any circumstances to go and to help these folks in their effort to share the gospel with people. I mean, what an incredible honor and privilege that I have that people would actually allow me to come and join in their efforts in sharing this gospel. What an amazing thing.
You know, and just the fact that we do the webcast every week. I mean,
yeah.
I mean that this is a major effort, folks. I mean, I don't know that anybody takes it for granted or lightly, but I mean, when we speak and archive and you're able to listen and direct your friends and your family or whoever to the site, we're supporting you. You're supporting us, and we're supporting you, and it's that's just how it works.
Yep.
So, speaking of people that recommended the website, this is a comment, and I'm not going to read who it's from, even though a very good friend of the gospel, but he says that he still gets comments from folks, Michael, that suggested listening to the webcast about some of the language content. And he says, for those who are just hearing the gospel, it seems hard for them to get past. Is it possible that in order to reach some, that the language could be curbed a bit? It's not a problem for me, but maybe it is for new listeners who are the ones that we're trying to reach with the gospel message. So this was an issue that came up months ago, many months ago now, if not a year ago. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe 6 months ago, 8 months ago. And we've been very, very careful about what we say or how we say it. But, Michael, I mean, let's broaden it out a little bit, okay, beyond just the webcast, about how to share this thing. And how much of our real selves or certain sides of ourselves, might be a better way to say, do you feel comfortable in opening up to somebody who may or may not be open to hearing the gospel of grace and peace?
Well, yes. I mean, the number one thing is that we are able to be ourselves, and I think people have noticed that we have taken into consideration that we don't want anything to cause people to stop listening, and obviously we are on the front lines, and being on the front lines, we take responsibility for that. And that language content, or even the way we approach something, that we, as the term is being used from our friend, is to curb that. And that has happened. We took that advice under consideration. But you've got to understand that what we're advocating, though, is that for you, we realize we do the broadcast. We realize that we're the first voice that many people will hear about this gospel. We will let people know forever that, you know, Anglo-Saxon words have nothing to do with the gospel. But we, at the same time, we are trying to be sensitive, and we are, and we have been, being sensitive to people who believe that those things are somehow, they are a social offense. They are certainly not an offense against the gospel by any means. But, we're not into trying to turn people away, you know, from hearing the message of the gospel. But in your own personal lives, I think one of the most important things that you can do is to just be yourself, because everybody needs somebody to talk to, and not everything is in this little packaged world where that, you know, all your comments and all your words are being watched at all times, and you're not on a broadcast every day, so you know we do encourage you just to with people that you're in contact with, above all things, be yourself, be sensitive, but be yourself.
Right, and you know, I think that as people get established in grace, that those things just really aren't much of an issue anymore. I mean, cause
they really aren't.
I mean, because we recognize there's a level of maturity, frankly, that develops that one realizes that words are just vowels and consonants put together. They mean nothing. they convey something that we want to convey, but the message of the gospel is so much bigger than any person's way of articulating something or anybody's actions or deeds or, you know, who their friends are or where they hang out or any. I mean, in one very real sense, Michael, that's kind of the point, or at least a major point of the message, is that all that stuff doesn't mean diddly.
Yeah.
It's when stacked up against a cross.
You said diddly.
Is that all right?
So you censored yourself.
I did, because I almost said diddly squat. That might not have been good. All right.
But we do recognize the difference between people that are hearing us are hearing grace, and those that are established in grace. These things really are not an issue, but we understand that we are not talking to all people who are established in grace. We understand that we are talking to people who are just first hearing grace, and we understand the curbs and the balances that have to be kind of walked so that we can let them hear. And we've taken the admonishment of those who love us and love what we're doing and, you know, have wanted others to hear the broadcast. And, you know, we're not beyond taking advice.
For sure.
Comment.
Hardly beyond that. And the other thing, we'll take the admonishment of people that don't love us. If it's legitimate,
yeah.
if it's something to contemplate. But see, anything that starts equating our behavior or action with righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, you can't really listen to that. You know, I mean, we're not about to, as we were talking about earlier, Michael, going to pollute or soil the message, or gloss over the message of the gospel. I mean, it's not going to happen.
No, it's too important. I mean, it is the experiencing of the kingdom of God that is at stake. And to gloss over the message is to cellophane, if you will, the kingdom of God. And you need to come in touch with the kingdom of God. I wish I could explain what the kingdom of God is in me. The kingdom of God is what I feel and what I think and the way I view things and how I experience things. That is the kingdom of God to me. But it's because that I view it through righteousness and the gospel of peace and the joy about all of that and the joy of that day. And when you are able to put texture to the kingdom of God, to where you can actually feel it. I'm telling you, folks, it is a fantastic experience. And most people have never allowed the gospel to become texturized to where that it's something you actually feel. And your relationship with God to where that it's something you actually feel and experience. Not on a high in a worship service, but something you know that you feel 24 hours a day. And yes, is it absent the highs that we experienced in those, slain in the spirit moments? Yeah, I hadn't had a high like that in years. But you know what? I hadn't had any of the lows that of feeling alienated and separated from God, you know, when I feel that I have failed or come short or haven't prayed enough or confessed enough or read my Bible enough.
In other words, no guilt.
It just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And in the absence of guilt, then I finally freed the people around me, and you begin to stop judging other people's relationship with God. And not having any judgment in you doesn't mean you don't have opinions. I got so many opinions, and honey, some of them you wouldn't like. And I express them. But I'm free to express them because I can express them without judgment.
Right. And we also do not categorize people based on their opinions. We've tried that. It's called denominations. People have opinions of the scriptures and the New Testament writings, and they form denominations over their opinions. We say that everybody who has a different opinion than Michael Williams or Glenn Klein or Greg Amberge or Jeremiah Wright or John Hagee, we're all the same. We just have different opinions. Yeah.
It is an opinion, and that's all it is. And as we have so fallen into that wonderful reclined position that says that, you know, the gospel is not a revelation of what we think about God. It is a revelation of what God thinks about us. And in that we recline, in that we rest, in that we have great confidence.
In him we live and move and have our being. In him we live. Make a joyful noise, sing unto the Lord, tell him of your love, dance before him. See, we know.
I remember when we thought we were being really radical when we would sing that as young folks out on the mission trail. In him we live and move and have our beans.
And then I always love it. I always loved singing that song, and you know, nobody's dancing until you would say dance before him, and then you know, people would move their feet a little bit, and then boy, that was freedom. That was freedom.
That's right.
I'm telling you. Well, you know, we
all knew there was freedom out there somewhere. We tried to skip our way into it, pray our way into it, sing our way into it, bounce and jump our way into it, and then finally, thank God, we're just in it.
We're just in a free fall.
That's it.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a great way to end tonight's edition of Glenn Klein Online. Michael, thank you, as always. One week from tonight, I will be in the northern hinterland, coming to you from the remote Gospel Revolution outpost in an undisclosed location. And
for the safety of the nation
and the world. Want to encourage you folks to go to the gospelrevolution.com website whenever you're listening to the webcast. Register for the convention, please. You know you're coming. You know you want to. So register so we can get the reservation.
Whether you're flying or driving, Greg, register.
Exactly. And let us know that you're coming. Keep up, please, with your monthly giving. All the CDs and DVDs can be ordered also at the gospelrevolution.com website. And if you're listening to the archives right now, feel free to fire off a question. We're pretty much through our queued up questions. Got a few left, but always your comments and opinions.
We have never been out of questions. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
what are we going to do?
Well, I don't think that's going to happen, but you never know. it might happen. We might be wrong. But we will do this in 1 week's time, Lord willing, if the creek don't rise. I want to thank also Greg Amberge from Cincinnati for calling in. Remember, Greg's website is appraisingstuff.com. Kristen Shira, our studio audience, hanging in there for the extra late edition tonight. And, of course, our engineer and producer extraordinaire and call screener, Sean O'Halloran. And that's it. That's going to do it for us tonight. This is Glenn Clyde Online saying... Shalom, everybody!